And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and I am so excited to be welcoming into our studios for this live broadcast today the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht, who has made his way all the way across the hall to our WGTD studios. And this is a very special program as Gateway is perched on the brink of yet another school year with all kinds of things going on. And we're really happy to also have with us, and we'll introduce them a little more specifically, Zena Haywood and Kathy Nordhaus, who are two of the people who really make things work around here at Gateway. So we'll introduce them more properly. But first, President Brian Albrecht, good to have you back.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here. And you're absolutely right. It's a very exciting time for all of us here at the college. But I'm sure to all of our listeners, if they're parents or guardians, all the young kids that are back in the schools, and if they're college age, they're probably moving into their dorms and becoming orientated to the new life that they're about to lead, that journey of a college career. So the excitement builds and continues to build here at Gateway.
And of course, it's not like you get the summer off. It's been a very active summer, and even in these last couple of weeks leading up to the start of the school year and into the school year, even besides all that actually happens with that, there's all kinds of things you've been busy with.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was surprised at actually how fast the summer went. I drive here to campus down Green Bay Road, and I saw a couple of trees with the leaves were turning colors. I'm like, where did the summer go? But I know you can tell, you know, the nights are a little cooler, so fall is in the air, and certainly sports season is well underway. We know that. So there's a lot of excitement with being back in school. But you're right, at Gateway, you know, we don't slow down. We try to make sure that our programs and services are available and accessible to our community throughout the entire year. A few years ago, we moved to a three-semester calendar, which really helped to broaden the level of support we're able to provide for our students. And as I mentioned, I think on last month's show, the great summer camps we have for youth, and our business partnerships continue to grow as well. And
I know you have a new one that you're excited to tell us about.
Yeah, you know, every month I get to share a few new great partnerships. We created a partnership about 6 months ago with an organization called NIDA. They are a solid-state electronics company, and they provide lab equipment for schools, and really it's going to refocus and reposition our electrical engineering program to be state-of-the-art, and that's going to help support not only the engineering tech degree, but when you think about all of the supporting skills necessary to be successful in an emerging industry like solid-state electronics, it's great to know that Gateway has those resources, and NIDA has been a great partner. And then most recently, the expansion of our manufacturing center out in Elkhorn, which is now under construction. I'm so happy about all of that. PartMaker came on board to support us, and they're a software company. They develop 3D software that helps to support Swiss screw machining. So that's micro machining, very specialized software setup, and they're a great partner, and they're going to help us build out that program and actually leverage their brand to help us become a regional, if not a national, trainer for the Swiss screw industry. So I'm really excited about those two new partnerships.
Understandably. I know that something came out from the Department of Labor, the Career Pathways Toolkit, and this is something that Gateway had a part in.
Yes. In fact, just last week it was released by the Department of Labor. I'm very proud of the work that our faculty and our team does in helping build pathways, whether it's from high school onto college or college into a career. There's all different ways that people achieve success in their own lives, and certainly being a part of the development of that toolkit, which is about 180 pages of resources that are now available to state departments, workforce investment boards, workforce development centers, organizations within communities that are intended to help collaborate on developing support systems. So some of it's training, some of it's wraparound services, some of it might be funding. How do you access federal or state funding? And the toolkit is really to build communities' strength around collaboration on resources. And Gateway has done such a great job over the years, way before I got here, I'll just say, in helping establish those relationships with our workforce development training partners, and has been recognized as a leader. And as mentioned in the resource toolkit that has now been released to the rest of the nation on a best practice on how to make all this happen to support students. So another feather in the cap of all of the great support that we have throughout our community.
Excellent. I know that you are putting down the welcome mat on a couple of different occasions, as if the start of the school year wasn't live lively enough, beginning with a really important visit next week.
That's right. I like to say we're rolling out the Gateway red carpet. Hmm. So Gateway's colors are red, so that's an important aspect of it. But we're so proud. Next week we will host the Wisconsin Technical College System State Board. That's the governing board for all of the technical colleges in the state. And we have a local board appointed by county board chairs, and then local board authority reports up to a state board. And every 4 years, as they make the rounds around the state, each month is a meeting in a different college. So they have not been here since 2011. So we will host the state board and all of the guests that will be in our community. We're going to showcase our business partnerships as one of our cornerstones for success. And we'll have some great recognition. Snap-on Incorporated is being recognized as a Future Maker Award winner for business partnerships. And we're bringing in some great partners, Ocean Spray from Kenosha, Precision Plus from the Walworth community, and Badger Meter from Racine to share kind of the unique partnerships that we have with our state board. And really, hopefully, not only provide a great venue for the board to do their work, but also showcase a little bit the success of Gateway. And then following that up, we are going to be hosting a national conference on campus for the American Technical Education Association. That's one of the oldest organizations in the country that focuses on technical education, bridge building from K-12 to post-secondary. So I think it fits right in with the idea of pathways.
Right.
And we'll host folks from all over the Midwest and really, again, showcase the great relationships we have. But spend about 3 days just concentrated in the area of technical training. So we're going to have a workshop on the solid-state electronics. We're going to have one on Fab Lab, one on mechatronics, and help teachers become more effective in building those relationships and hopefully building stronger pathways for their students when they go back home.
Fantastic. So that's next month, you said they
that's
come?
That's next month, correct.
We're already
preparing for it because there seems to be something exciting happening each week on campus, so we kind of set our schedule, you know, what do the next 60 days look like?
Right. Well, then in the meantime, speaking of excitement, this is essentially the start of yet another school term, and so you've brought two guests with you today that are major players in the day-to-day operations of this school.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just mentioned to Zena and Kathy before we started the program here, I want to remind myself, now faculty are on campus, and today they're doing workshops and prepping their labs, and Tuesday all the students will be here. So we know that there are students here already kind of getting a feel for the campuses, and that's exciting just to know that they're eager and excited to be here. And had a unique opportunity earlier this week to speak to the faculty, both the adjunct, and Zena will comment a little bit on how important that is, but then also our full-time faculty, and, you know, just remind people about the great role that they play in our community and how important it is that we continue to provide opportunities of hope and inspiration for any student that comes to the college. And so today I'm very proud to share with our community Zena Haywood, our Executive Vice President and Provost, to help us really untangle a little bit on what it takes to start a new academic year, because there's a lot more than what I'm involved in, I know that. And Kathy Nordhaus, who is just a real champion for us in the area of general education, and I wanted to focus on that area a little bit today because many people know Gateway by the occupational programs. You know, they hear us talk a lot about nursing or manufacturing, and you can kind of wrap your head around what those are.
They're very specific.
Right, exactly. But every one of those occupations require a whole lot of support courses, general education programs, and a lot of our students are leveraging their associate degree into higher level baccalaureate degrees, and all of that fits in this puzzle that we call Gateway Technical College.
And it doesn't always get the headlines.
Exactly.
So we're taking some time for that, so that's great. So we welcome both of you into the studios. Kathy, for the first time, Zena, I don't even know by now how many times you've joined us. Remind us of how long you've been at Gateway.
Actually, I've been at Gateway 22 years.
Wow.
This past August, over 9.5 years, and my current position will be 10 years in January.
And take the current position apart for us. What are your most important duties?
Most important duties are I'm the chief academic officer for the college, day-to-day operations for our campuses, our libraries, also our institutional effectiveness division, which is research and planning, grant development, staff professional development, and also student success division, which includes student services and all of our academic support and non-academic support for students.
Wow, you oversee all of that.
Yes, with a wonderful staff.
Can you take apart your two
offices. You are executive vice president and provost. Are they kind of one and the same, or are the duties sort of aligned underneath each of those titles?
They're kind of duties aligned under each one. On the provost, traditionally, that's the academic side of the house where, of course, all of our program, curriculum, faculty, and faculty development, and then the executive vice president part is kind of the support for the president. I'm the number two person and the day-to-day operations of campuses, facilities, and all those types of things fall under the executive vice president.
Yeah, that makes it sound like you need help.
I could not be more proud. And Zena and I actually came together at the same time. So we've been hand in glove on this project here at Gateway for over 10 years. But Zena has so much experience in the technical college system and in higher education, represents us on state committees, national boards, and does a lot of community outreach as well. So we're really proud of the role that she plays, not only from the importance of the academic side to make sure that our programs and services are the highest quality, but also how to then you build those bridges into the community and really leverage her ability to do professional development and, you know, encourage and nurture and support education as a pathway. So just great to have her part of the team.
Remind me, where were you before you came to Gateway?
I was in Michigan at Oakland University.
Uh-huh.
Before that and prior to that, I was at the University of Michigan.
Oh, okay. So a Midwest in your roots?
Yes, absolutely. Born in Chicago.
Ah, well, we're glad you found your way back to Gateway.
We often find a Michigan flag every once in a while flying in our office, so it's my responsibility to make sure that comes down. And
it's there permanently.
I see. A permanent fixture. Well, it's hard to imagine Gateway without you, so it's great to have you here. And I'm so happy today to be really officially meeting Kathy Nordhaus for the first time. As we said earlier, she is Dean of General Studies here at Gateway. So first of all, Kathy, give us some sense of what your day-to-day responsibilities are as Dean of General Studies.
You know, I first of all, I want to say thank you very much for having me here today. We don't always have an opportunity to sing the praises of General Studies.
Right.
So I'm very excited to be here today.
Yeah, this is overdue.
It's just wonderful that I can do that. I think one of the best parts of my job is there is no typical day. So And it's kind of because of the way my job works. So as Dean of General Studies, I oversee five departments. I oversee communications, science, social science, math, and traffic safety. And my main job really is to work with faculty and to work with people inside and outside of the college to make sure that our students are getting the very best possible education in those foundational classes. So on any given day, I could be observing instructors' classes or doing evaluations with them. I could be working with students and finding out if they have issues or concerns or if they are particularly pleased about something that they're working on. I could be talking to other deans throughout the system and finding out about trends and working with high schools to make sure that we're bridging right and working with other colleges and institutions to make sure that our students can make a smooth transition if they're going on to continue their education. So in general studies, we really, every student who's here to get a degree takes at least a bare minimum of two general studies classes. So we touch a lot of lives.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Sometimes we forget, you know, we think about students that are enrolling in a manufacturing program, and there might be 400 students enrolled in that, and there might be another 1,500 enrolled in information technology programs. And collectively, when you break down all of the different occupational programs, approximately 23,000 students attend Gateway. All 23,000 are engaged in the general education programs. So, you know, we can talk about manufacturing. What do we need to do to those, you know, 400 students to make sure they're successful? Well, 400 times X gives us the 23,000 that the impact that Kathy's programs has.
That's huge over the course of the entire college.
Right, that's how important it is.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of the specifics in just a moment. Zena Haywood, tell us a little bit about sort of the scurrying around that's been happening in these weeks leading up to the start of the school year. I mean, what have you been busy with? What have other people here at Gateway been busy with to make opening day possible?
There have been many activities. There's been remodeling of facilities, moving and upgrading our labs, purchasing new equipment. We've been doing a lot of recruitment activities, updating the library collection, open houses, new student orientation on all three campuses. We've been onboarding and orienting. We've got 8 new faculty members that are starting with us this semester. In service, as Brian mentioned, for 230 adjuncts, and then another one for 300 full-time faculty have been here all week. Wow. So a lot has been going on. We've awarded over 4,000 students financial aid. And for this coming year, and in fact, just for our summer semester, which actually starts our academic year, over $4 million to students just for summer. And then coming up so far for this year, we've awarded over $38 million in financial aid. So we've been very, very busy. Lots of activities going on. In fact, just today, right downstairs, students are interviewing for a chance to participate in a service learning project in Peru in May. So there's a lot going on before we start our academic year.
Wow. Well, and you've just touched on something which probably is worth talking about, namely the fact that there really is kind of a year-round system in place here at Gateway. It really isn't like maybe more standard colleges where you have a fall semester and a spring semester and then the place goes dormant except for a few scattered little activities. True. That's not really the way it functions here at Gateway, is it?
No, it does not. Beginning summer 2008 is when we transitioned to 3 15-week semesters in our academic calendar. A couple of reasons we did that. Of course, one is to boost enrollment. Prior to 2008, we had a short summer semester. And what that meant was students really could only take one course because to get the hours in for the course that you would take in a normal 15 or 16-week semester, the classes had to meet every day of the week to get those hours in. So students really could only do one class. By having the 3 15-week semesters and summer being the same length as fall and spring, students could actually go full-time in the summer. So that actually helps also with retention and completion because now they can complete sooner, they can keep going and not have those breaks and start thinking about, well, do I really want to go back? Well, if they keep going, it's really a better process for them to think about completing and persisting through their education.
Keeps the momentum going and everything.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. You know, I just read an article, too, about how long it takes for students at elementary, middle school, and high school to re-engage in learning. So they take the summer off, and it sometimes takes up to 2 weeks to re-engage, which means they're kind of just catching up again from taking time off. Well, that's the same with adults, I'm sure, as well. So I think it's important that we have at least the opportunity for adults here at the college to continue their educational learning in that process so that they can complete and stay on top of what it takes to be successful in their career.
Just to give you an idea of the impact, many students participate and take classes during the summer. Just this summer that we just completed on August 22nd, we had over 6,000 students here taking classes in the summer.
Wow. So it's not just a small little group.
No, and it's increasing. That's a 2% increase over last summer.
Wow.
So and it's been increasing every summer. More students understand the positive thing when you just keep going with your studies. Even some do just take one class, but many more students are taking more than one class during the summer.
How does it work for the faculty? Does the typical faculty member here at Gateway teach all three of those terms, I mean, all through the year, or do they... Are they in and out a little bit more?
We really don't have a typical faculty member anymore. However, the majority of our faculty do teach fall and spring. But we have faculty members who teach summer and fall and take the spring off. We have faculty who teach spring and summer and take the fall off. And we have faculty who teach all three semesters. So there are different, based on the needs of their program and what the college needs with faculty, they teach those semesters that are really required and are the best for the students.
Wow. It's a great credit to our faculty to make that adjustment, and I think it helps to keep our faculty refreshed. It is different to teach in the summer, and I think it's kind of a great environment, and sometimes people just need that change of pace a little bit, and plus it provides more flexibility, I think, for our course offerings. We can spread those course offerings out, or we can add additional sections if we need to, if enrollments are strong in a certain area, and gives the college much more flexibility.
Sure. The time is 8:30, and you're listening to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. We have Brian Albrecht paying his monthly visit to the program. Brian Albrecht, of course, is the president of Gateway Technical College. We also have with us in the studios today Zena Haywood, executive vice president and provost here at Gateway, and Kathy Nordhaus, who is dean of general studies. Kathy, we should explore that a little bit further and behind the, I suppose, somewhat bland title is actually something pretty exciting and pretty essential for the academic life here at Gateway. You outlined the five sort of major areas. Maybe you could talk a little more in more detail about some of the kind of courses that we're talking about that that most students at Gateway end up taking, and what role they play in their study towards a given occupation.
Sure. I'll start with communications. Actually, as I said before, there are five areas. There's communications, math, social science, and science. And we also have traffic safety, which is sort of a different area, and that's supporting the community more than it's supporting programs. But if you start with communications, you know, we all hear this all the time, I think. There are companies and employers, I'm sure Brian hears this all the time when he's out talking to local employers, are looking for people who are really, really well-trained in the technical areas, but they also really want people who have those soft skills.
Hmm.
And some of those soft skills that come up time and time again and in all the surveys, they need people who communicate well and who communicate effectively. And they need people who have all of the foundational skills. They also need people who work well with others. So in communications, we teach them the verbal skills that they need and the written skills. Mainly, most of them come to us with some of those skills, but not at a professional level. So we work to fine-tune those skills. We also have world languages. So we have a Spanish program right now that's thriving. It's doing really well. The last 2 years, it's just sort of taken off. In the social science area, we have classes like psychology and sociology, abnormal psych, ethics. Ethics is obviously something that's vital in the health industry. It's vital in business. Mm-hmm. And sociology, things like that, are so important for people who will be working on teams to really understand other people's worldviews and other people's expectations and experiences, so they can adapt and work well. And then other things, science, we have anatomy and physiology and chemistry and biology. Those are obviously classes that are vital to healthcare careers, but also kind of owner's manual classes.
Hmm.
So if you have a body, you should probably know how it works. And biology works great for that, and so does classes like nutrition.
Hmm.
That aren't necessarily tied to any particular program, but are just good for everyone to know. And math, which is personally the bane of my existence, because I was terrible at math. But those math skills, and the older I get, the more I realize no matter what area you go into, what career field you go into, you have to have those fundamental skills. So those support the programs.
Hmm. Now, for a given student, what is typically prescribed for them to take in the general studies area? I mean, do they need to take a certain number, and is it completely up to them what they are? Or do they tend to be more earmarked for each and every program?
They're definitely earmarked by program. The program advisory councils get together, and those include faculty and members from industry in the area. And they get together and decide what specific classes students need. The heavy hitters, I think you could call them, are English composition. That's pretty much fundamental to anyone who's getting an associate's degree. Math will be required for anyone who's getting an associate's degree. What level of math will very much vary based on what they're doing. And at least one of the social science areas, usually sociology or diversity studies is really growing, or ethics.
Mm-hmm. And again, for the most part, these are prescribed for a student. I mean, they're been determined by somebody that this course would be the most valuable.
They're prescribed by program, and in fact, on the curriculum sheets that students receive, it's prescribed in what order the students should really take the classes. So the programs have given a lot of thought to what fundamentals students need in order to succeed in the program classes. Mm. So ideally, students will follow those sheets.
Yeah. And Kathy, maybe you could just describe a little bit, sort of big picture, if an associate degree is 60 credits, how many of those credits would be considered occupational? Approximately how many would be general education? Because many people, they have an idea, I went to Gateway to get skills to become X. But they forget to say in all of those other supporting skills that are necessary.
The number varies by program, and there are also elective classes that are possible. I think, isn't the average number 21?
21 is required for associate's degree.
Right. So 21, 23, 25, somewhere in that territory of those credits will be general studies classes.
So if you're training to become an automotive technician, you will also take English. You will also take math courses. Mm-hmm. And whether it's automotive or nursing or IT, that foundational infrastructure, and those students take those courses together. So there's great opportunity to build a collaborative effort and create a student life experience similar to what you see at other university-type settings.
Right. You mean people who are in different programs come together
Correct.
In these general education courses. That's terrific. Do you find that some of these students going in are surprised at some of this stuff involving the soft skills? I mean, I imagine someone who wants to become an auto mechanic going in with the expectation that it's going to be one wonderful car class after another. And, of course, there's this other reality. Does that have to be clarified right from the start, that this is going to be a part of what you're going to study?
It's kind of a harsh reality for some people. it is a surprise. It's definitely a surprise. And part of the challenge that the general studies instructors face is really students are so eager to get into their program classes, and that's why they're here, because they're really motivated and they're dedicated to those fields. And so it's a hard sell for the general studies instructor sometimes to say, no, really, you need this, and here's why. So the program faculty help out a lot with that, because they help reinforce that message that you really have no idea how many emails you'll be writing in the real world. So you need to know how to write, and you need to know how to do this. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever spoken to a young person that has said, I'm going off to the university, and then the next question is, what are you studying? Well, I'm just taking my general education courses right now. So oftentimes the frustration even at that level would be, you know, your sophomore, junior year before you're taking specific courses in business or, you know, engineering. At Gateway, it's integrated throughout the experience. So you're going to take some occupational courses very early in your program. So you do get, you know, you do get to work on cars.
Right.
But along with that, we're going to have employers also reminding you that math is important, science is important, communications are important, because eventually you're going to be trying to diagnose those vehicles and not just working on them.
Right. Well, and interacting with customers and all of the rest of it. What about the matter of those courses in the general ed area transferring to other institutions for those students? And, of course, there's more and more of them in which Gateway's education is designed as a pathway to other experiences.
I'm really glad you asked that, because I think that's one of the biggest surprises that many people learn about. Of our full-time faculty, all of the instructors have at least a master's degree in the subject that they teach, which is the same minimum requirement that you'd have at the university or at a four-year college. And about a third right now of our full-time faculty have PhDs. And there, many others are working on them, so that number has been rising over time. Because of the high quality of our faculty and because of the strength of our curriculum, we really have a lot of classes that transfer to four-year institutions. Some of that is through articulation agreements that we have with other places. So we have really terrific articulation agreements with Parkside and with Milwaukee School of Engineering, for instance. So those are wonderful, but also a lot of the core classes are so common to all institutions that we were having no problem whatsoever transferring those to four-year schools. So English composition, for example, or some of the math classes, or sociology, people just look at those at receiving colleges and say, well, of course, that's the same. But we hear about classes all the time that we don't have any agreements with the schools necessarily, formal agreements, but the schools are just taking the credits. I just heard a couple of weeks ago that University of Wisconsin Whitewater is accepting our nutrition class, and that was a first, so we were really excited to hear that. And I think the best part is it really reinforces for us how much other institutions value the education that we're providing.
Very good. Yeah, that says a lot, doesn't it? And it probably says a lot to the students themselves, too, about the kind of education they're receiving here. Zena Haywood, one of the things, of course, that's always really exciting at a place like Gateway, and particularly at Gateway specifically, is the fact that there are new programs that get launched all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the lifeblood of a place like this. Mm-hmm. Could you say a word not only about the new programs that have recently been launched here, but also kind of that process by mm-hmm. which new programs begin here? I mean, how does that get decided? I mean, does Brian Albrecht just get a crazy idea in his head? Or,
well,
I mean,
that happens often, yes.
Right. But I mean, I suspect there's more to it than that. I mean, because it's no small matter mm-hmm. to create a new program and right. devote the resources to it and so on. What is that process like?
Well, ideas and concepts come from everywhere. We get them from business and industry. For example, we're starting a gas utility program this spring in January, and it came from the business and industry folks coming to us and saying, we need people who can, more people can read meters and check those types of things. So we're starting that program in January. So that's just one example. It comes from faculty, we'll have ideas. It comes from other technical colleges. We always talk to each other to see what's new and emerging. And there's a really thorough process for vetting new programs. And as Brian mentioned, how our governance of the colleges, we have a state board. Well, there's a state office that all of our programs have to be approved by that state office. Hmm. So they make sure that the quality in the programs, that we have to have an ad hoc advisory committee while we're even thinking about a program. We have to do surveys to make sure there's jobs available. So we can't just start a program because we think it's new and exciting. Hmm. There actually has to be a job at the end, which is one of the things that I really like about the system and the mission of our college, is that it's about getting jobs. And so we would never start a program where there were not jobs available. We have new programs starting this year. Our veterinary assistant and veterinary technician associate degree on the Elkhorn campus. And just to give you an example, that program has been 3 years in the making. So there's a lot that goes into it. By the time you get it approved, you've done your due diligence, then there's the facility and the equipment and hiring faculty and writing curriculum. So it really does take a lot of time to get a program started. Also, we have a IT Junior SharePoint Developer Technical Diploma, and we've started this year with pathway certificates. So we have new CNC, Computer Numerical Control, pathway certificates, which means that we've really kind of chunking that curriculum where a student can stop out after the first semester with a credential that says, these are the things that I can do. They can come back and get another credential. So it really creates a pathway to achieving that degree and getting deeper and deeper and higher levels in the field. And we've got also a lot of internal certificates as well as technical diplomas and associate degrees. Just new this year, and this is just a few of them, and there's at least twice as many of these new internal certificates. We have one for general management, Spanish proficiency for healthcare providers. We have one of those for law enforcement, environmental studies, copywriter, editor, freelance writer, grant writer, web content writer, gas metal arc welding, and there's even more. And those are just new this year. So the internal certificates are people who really maybe can't commit for a two-year degree, but they can get a credential that says, I have these skills and I've taken these courses and can actually go out and get a job.
That's huge.
I think it's safe to say that Gateway is never the same at the beginning of any
That's
semester.
Right.
There
right.
are always
Absolutely
something
right.
new and exciting mm-hmm. going on, which is pretty important because, you know, over time people have an idea of the anchor programs that we have, just solid healthcare mm-hmm. programs, mm-hmm. solid manufacturing programs, and, you know, solid general education coursework. But there's always going to be something new. So I encourage people to really check in on our website, stop by one of the open houses just to find out what the new certificates are, the new degree options that are out there.
Very good. Kathy Nordhaus, let's talk for a moment about high school students, and because that's been actually one of the most interesting things that I've seen over the last, well, more than a quarter century I've been at Gateway, is how the focus on high school has increased over time, that Gateway cares about high school students, and for that matter, not even the high school students that will eventually end up here, but I mean, we are playing a more and more important role in their education and preparing them for what comes next. In the area of general studies, are there ways in which Gateway plays a part in maybe prepping high school students to be better prepared for whatever their college experience is going to be? What role do we play?
We absolutely play a role, and we are always looking for opportunities, more outreach opportunities, so we can play an even larger role. There are many different things I could talk about, but there's a really good recent example. Racine Unified recently held a summit because Racine Unified has an enormous effort underway to move to an academy model within their district. And so they have reached out to Gateway, and they've reached out to Parkside and to other institutions. And so at the summit, they said, could you get some general studies faculty there? So we sent some math faculty and science faculty and English faculty, and they sat with Racine Unified teachers. And I think that was probably the highlight for our faculty, definitely. It was fun to hear what they're doing and all the great things that are going on in Racine, but sitting down with the faculty and really talking about curriculum and identifying those gaps that may exist and ways that we can bridge those gaps, that's what we're trying to do more of, really get the instructors to sit face-to-face and to figure out what our expectations are and what their expectations are and how we can just make those bridges and make as smooth as possible transitions for students.
That makes a difference, doesn't it?
Well, in so many ways. Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, it's kind of the scenario where in an occupational area you have a set of competencies, and a lot of times there's a commonality of, you know, what are the job expectations. In general education, you really have to start talking about what are the types of classroom experiences that are taking place, how do you identify the skill sets that students are earning, and then how does that transfer into a collegiate-type environment that's going to be related eventually to an occupation. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and great credit to the teachers at all in all of our districts, but especially our faculty here that have helped outreach.
Well, and I think there's both, I wanted to mention that there's both sort of informal channels, and that's those relationships that we're trying to bridge, but we're also trying to do that through some formal channels. So we're working on a grant opportunity right now with Parkside and with RUSD, and we're hoping that if that comes together, we'll have the opportunity to actually stand back and say, now, how can we make sure that this is happening? So to come up with a formal process to sit down, whether it's annually or more regularly, and really take a look at all of the different pieces and make sure they're working together.
What would you say to a high school student that maybe wouldn't occur to them otherwise in terms of how to best be prepared for the collegiate experience, whatever that's going to be, whether it means Gateway in their future or even some other kind of college, what do high school students maybe tend to miss or tend to forget in preparing for the next step?
Oh, we don't have enough time for that. I have a really long list of advice that I would give them, but I think the biggest piece is not to sell themselves short. And I'll use myself as an example. I already told the world that I'm math phobic, but I'm still working on my budget, Zena, so it's all good. but as a result of that, math didn't come as easily to me as languages did or some other things did. And I thought that everything was supposed to come that easily to people. So I just assumed that there was something, I was defective in math. And I did the absolute minimum that I had to do to get by. And as a result of that, I closed doors. So there are other things. I mean, my life could have taken all kinds of different directions. I'm very happy with the path that I'm on. But because I sold myself short and I just assumed that I couldn't do it, I didn't have the patience with myself. And I didn't give it the chance that I really needed to give it. College is about opening doors. It's not about closing doors. So I think students should just really be patient, be gentle with themselves, and know some things are going to take a little bit longer, and maybe you're going to have to redo some things, or maybe you're going to have to get some extra help. That's okay. That's the sign of a good student.
Yeah, Kathy just hit a home run on that. You know, many people could say just study more math or study more science and you'll do just fine. But really, it's the whole idea of developing hope and confidence. And, you know, I know Zena as well, we're first-generation college graduates from our families. And, you know, you've got to find the pathway that's best for you. No one pathway fits everybody. Mm-hmm. And Gateway provides many different ways in which you can achieve success. Short courses all the way to diplomas and degree programs and occupationally focused to pique your interest. interests and have you apply where your strengths are. So I would agree with Kathy that if you can continue to help people stay positive and think about education as a path to their future success, that's our major goal.
Right. Zena Haywood, I want to make sure we have time for you to talk about some of the support services which Gateway offers to its students, because success would not be possible without mm-hmm. that. And probably the average layperson on the street has no idea mm-hmm. all that goes on. And probably there are some even Gateway students who have yet to even realize all the resources and areas of support that are available to them. Sketch for our listeners just what we're talking about.
Well, we have a wide variety, a large scope of support services for our students. And in fact, 3 years ago, we changed a little bit of our philosophy and model for delivering those services, and we developed what we call learning success centers. So students would have one place to go for academic support. We started that in Elkhorn, and it includes disability support services, testing services, free tutoring services. We also have multicultural specialist, and we have a TRIO grant that supports the disability students, and they provide general testing, physical accommodations for those students. They also provide financial literacy education for students with disabilities, transfer assistance, and they also give them education about their own strengths. So our support services are really comprehensive even within each area. Our multicultural specialist, they provide a student leadership conference for our students of color. They have a male mentoring program for our students. We have veteran services specialists who help our veterans. Wow. And we've even developed veterans lounges on each campus, so they even have a place where they can come together and on a social basis while they're here getting their academics. We have a step-up program and a non-traditional occupation services, and those are for students who are in studying occupations that are not traditionally with their gender. For example, males who are in nursing or females who are in manufacturing. So we have all those types of services for students. We have student support counselors who can help with personal issues, relationship issues, stress management, grief counseling, and also doing community referrals. We have career counselors. So if you don't even know what career that you want to pursue, we have counselors to help you understand yourself better so you can get into the right field. And we also have, on the other end, once you've completed your degree, we have employment specialists who will help you get a job, help you with your resume, help you do some mock interviews, those types of things. So whatever the need of the students, we have a place for them to go to get all of those services and a wide variety of services for whatever they need.
It's extraordinary.
it actually is very remarkable. You know, because we are not a campus that has housing, we don't have dorms. Mm-hmm. So we're a commuter college. People drive in, they drive out. So we make these assumptions that, well, you just go there and take classes and that's it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. There are so many great resources and so many ways to connect students to their academic programs, of course, but also to the resources of the community. And it really helps Gateway get a really good pulse on what's happening within our community and how we can add additional value outside of the academic programs.
Super. Mm-hmm. Zena, I also wanted to make sure to give you a chance to talk about, although our time is just about gone, mm-hmm. but a little word about how the typical classroom is different now. Because, of course, when you are overseeing the academic life here, mm-hmm. one of the things, in addition to the students and the faculty, is the place where classes occur. And, of course, once upon a time, that was a room with a blackboard. Mm-hmm. And now many of the classrooms here at Gateway are nothing like that. No. I mean, just pique our interest.
Okay, so you're really making me date myself here. But but I'm glad you said we.
Right. Fair enough.
For some, the classroom is really at home at the kitchen table. And that's one thing that has really changed from when I was in school. It could be on the living room sofa where they sit with their laptop or their tablet and they're doing their work, or they may even be watching their instructor do a lecture right at home.
Right.
And some classes are what we call flip classrooms. For example, a lot of our nursing instructors do flip classrooms where they do their lectures, they videotape their lectures, students get the lectures anytime they want, and when they come to class time, it's doing the hands-on experiential types of things, getting support from the faculty member. So it's very, very different from when I was in school. Instruction today is more interactive. There's more YouTube videos, recorded lectures that I talked about that can be viewed anytime. Another thing is the assignment grades are always accessible online, so you don't have to go to your instructor, say, what did I get on that? It's right online. Anytime you want to see your grades, and whenever there's an assignment due, the grade goes out online. So all of that is very different. Books can be rented. We have books online. So it just has been so much that has changed. Within the classrooms in our labs, we have 3D printers, human patient simulators, flight simulators, robots for manufacturing. We have even robots in welding. So, I mean, it's just very, very different classroom.
It's a new world, isn't it?
It is a new world.
It's very exciting, yes. Highly interactive, and I think it represents what's happening in the world. So when you go to the job site, you know, you expect to see computers and robots and all the things that are making the world go around, and we build that right into our labs, and that becomes a part of the learning environment.
Sure. Kathy, let's finish with you. A word about what excites you, even though general studies don't have a whole lot to do with robots and helicopter simulators and so on. But there's other sources of excitement. Obviously, that's part of what keeps you going.
Well, we do have some robot-y kind of things. So for our science classes, we have some very high-tech things going on in there. And we are definitely part of the online and blended and that sort of revolution, accelerated. We have all sorts of different formats. I think what keeps us excited is we are always innovating in general studies, and part of the innovations are driven by the program. So when we started the vet tech program, now we have an animal biology class. So that's exciting. So instructors get to teach something new. But we also have a lot of other things going on. So we're starting different formats of classes. We have something we're experimenting with called iChoose that students, it's an open attendance situation where students can choose each class, whether they attend class in person or they attend class online, and do it in a synchronous way. And the college has just invested in some new technology that we think might make that even a more feasible option. We are doing all kinds of things with bigger projects. So we're streamlining some of our developmental education for students who need just a little bit of help before they get into their college classes. We're streamlining those. So lots of big curriculum things going on, and especially in math and in communications. And we have Phi Theta Kappa. Phi Theta Kappa is the two-year honor society for students in the two-year colleges. And we're very, very excited about that. We've been growing it every year, and we've grown it again, and we have active students involved, and they have some big plans this year. And we have the Red Hawk Review, which is our student literary magazine, and students can win tuition vouchers for that. This is our third year to have that go out, so we're excited about that. So, oh, and we're also getting involved now in international education. So we have one of our faculty members joined up with horticulture and interior design, and they'll be going to England. So a lot of things in the work.
A lot of reasons to be excited around here.
You know, absolutely. Every day I'm smiling so large again because I hear these programs and I know that they're making a difference for our students. And I continue to think about the impact they're making within our community. The students that attend Gateway stay in our community. They get jobs. They raise families.